I bought some batteries in a co-op in Ipswich recently. And
you know how to live. That's a long way to go for somebody who lives in North London just to buy batteries.
Basically, I went in and I was in a rush and I was like, where are your batteries? And she was like, well, do you want the crap ones or the good ones? And I was like, it's for a wedding? She was like, yeah, you want the good ones. But they were like £8. It was mad.
Always buy batteries in bulk on offer.
Black Friday's coming up, guys. Treat yourself.
Especially with Christmas coming up.
It's a good point. You don't want to buy that toy on Christmas Day and then you can't bloody get it to work because you don't have batteries.
No, my brother normally comes to us on Christmas Day and he has to drive for about an hour or so to get here. Mm-hmm. So I'll be sending him a message on Christmas Day and say, a garage is open on Christmas Day. If you drive past one, can you check and pick up this sort of battery, please?
We need a, I was going to say double D, but that's a bra size. There's that like funny square one.
I think you do get double Ds though, don't you?
Do you?
You do get Ds. Triple A's, double A's.
I'm somewhere around triple A, but droopy.
Hello, you're listening to the Doing It For The Kids podcast, where we swear a bit too much and talk a bit too fast about freelance life with kids in the mix. I'm Frankie and this is Steve.
Hello, yes, welcome to another one. So this is where we take your questions and do our best to answer them, be it about freelance life, parenting life, the juggle and mixture of the two. We then like to take your comments from the week before's question and read them out because you have, you know, way better things to say than we do. So that means we have to start this episode by going back to last week's episode. Last week's episode was...
how to feel like you're moving up instead of just along.
Oh, it was Maya with all the what is success and her peers that she left behind.
Yeah.
Okay, comments.
Sam Brown says, I feel like I'm the you of 3 years ago. Also a copywriter, etc. There's so much in that, etc. And I completely feel your pain. Where's the shiny Instagram page or the lovely booths from other people taking photos of our work? I'm approaching the end of my first year as a freelancer and I'm going to give myself a review like I would have received when I still worked in-house as an editor. Actually looking at all the clients I've worked with, pitches I've won and nice feedback I've had will hopefully kick that imposter syndrome and the feeling of sort of just getting by.
Barney Harsent said, I think there's something uniquely solitary about writing. The words in the screen of the last bit. So much of it is thinking, mulling, and letting things sit over time. It can mean, and it absolutely does for me, that the line between you and the work is gossamer thin.
Tell, we've got copywriters in the house. Gossamer?
That was beautiful.
Don't even know what that means. Do you know what that means?
Gossamer is a type of tights, right?
Oh, is it? Lovely.
Surely this is the bit that you should know.
Ruth Buckingham says, brilliant episode this week and can completely relate, Maya. Have also been freelancing for coming up to 4 years after a successful corporate career. I think Frankie suggested a big up yourself folder when I raised my doubts, but I think that would be a really good idea for you too. There's also a feeling of losing a bit of identity after leaving a corporate job, but I'm sure many of your ex-colleagues are totally blown away with what you're doing. They just don't necessarily express it. Good luck with the reflection and planning for next year. Yeah, so I did an Instagram post that said... big up yourself? Yeah, I did. Which now makes me cringe. Anyway, and it was basically like collect all the good stuff that you've got that you should be collecting all the time but never have time to. So testimonials, nice bits of feedback, projects that you're like really proud of, even like nice things your kids have said about you.
Wow.
And like put it all on either like on your computer or print stuff off and put it by your desk somewhere.
Do you know what you could do? You could take 12 of your favourite big up yourself quotes and create a desk calendar for 2020 with them on.
That's actually a really nice idea. So every month you open a new one up that's about you and how bloody great you are.
Yeah, little gift to yourself. What you have to is promise not to look, you know, look at it like after you first get it. And then you'll probably forget what it is when you know, what after March. And then you'll turn it over and go, oh yeah, somebody said that about me.
So this is where we talk about our weeks, but we saw each other yesterday, so should we just skip to the end?
No, I've got stuff to say about my week.
Okay, great. Go for it. So how was your week, Steve?
You know how my week was. Not just because we met yesterday. I had kids off work.
Off.
So basically, our daughter went to... No, in fact, if last week's episode... was recorded with our daughter here, wasn't it?
Correct.
Like, so she was already off school sick, so that we recorded that on the Tuesday. So I'm all ready to go back to work on Wednesday. I make my list of what I'm going to do in my mind. I'm like, right, back at work Wednesday.
that night, midnight, I think, I was just about to go to bed and I hear our son. You know the pre-sick noise that kids make?
I don't feel very...
So we totally reset. Like, she went back to school on the Wednesday. He was off school. So I had Wednesday off as well. Then my wife, thankfully, took Thursday off. And then thinking, right, back at it, Friday. Start making my list. Guess what? Comes down, 9 o'clock, bottom of the stairs, chucks up all over the dining room. Still off school Friday. Oh, my God. What a week. Yeah, it was... It was so grim.
And are you massively behind now? Like, what's the deal?
Okay, this is how I got around it. So during the week, I tried to play it pretty much. Do you know what? This is what it is. I'm going to hang out with the kids and be the dad. And it was once I made that decision, it was so less stressful. I told clients what the deal was. I just took a couple of calls. And then on a couple of projects, I had to do some script editing. I went to another writer and said, can you help me out here and just do this for me? So they did it for me. And then I went in on Saturday and Sunday and just worked like they were normal days.
Well, that's interesting, given the question we're about to discuss. In fact, that's so weirdly apt. Wow. It's like we've got a content plan, but we don't.
Okay, this week's is anonymous. Anonymous name, anonymous name. Okay, I'm going back to the detectives. Didn't let us down last time with Joe Wolf, did it? Okay, Detective Lee Anderson, Detective Nat Williams, Detective Grace Ace. Grace Ace?
Ooh, yes.
Grace Ace?
Grace Ace. Yes. Okay. Yes.
So this week's question comes from Detective Grace Ace. Looking for a pep talk, please. I have just changed from a fixed hours contract, 22 hours a week, to setting up on my own in a different field. My husband and I have two preschool children, and I have always been responsible for childcare. They are in play school 4 days a week, so I have 20 hours a week of This feels what? Like one of those questions you used to get in maths GCSE. Detective Grace Ace was on a fixed hours contract of 22 hours a week. Her children are in play school 4 days a week. So now she has 20 hours a week. How many bottles of gin does she need to survive? Sorry. They are in play school 4 days a week. So I have 20 hours a week of regular work hours. With two kiddos, inevitable illness, appointments and holidays, it always falls to me to reduce my hours to pick up the slack. When I was working fixed hours and needed to make up time in the evenings or at weekends, it was fine. But now I can set my own hours. My husband asks me not to work evenings or weekends as it eats into family time. All the while, wondering when I will start earning money. I have tried explaining what the childcare implications would be if I worked 9 to 5. Feeling pretty squeezed, but this business is something I want very much and makes me very happy. Just need to figure out a way to get my family more on board. Guessing this sounds familiar to some of you. Yours, Detective Grace Ace.
I can basically feel the entire Doing It For The Kids community like sigh in understanding.
When I was working fixed hours and needed to make up time in the evenings or at weekends, it was fine. But now I can set my own hours. My husband asks me not to work evenings or weekends as it eats into family time.
All the while wondering when I'll start earning money. Yeah.
The thing is, and it's so much easier said than done, when it comes to relationships, like communication is key. And I will put my hand up and say I am rubbish at it. Like, just last week when our kids were off school all week, I didn't ever say, oh, but I need to do this. Or like, I didn't put my hand up and explain to my other half what my workload was. I didn't say, is it possible that you could stay home on this day because of... So for a start, if we don't ever express it, it is hard for us to then moan about it.
Yeah, and how can we expect them to understand if we're not explaining, particularly if they've never worked for themselves?
Yeah.
Like, why would they understand?
They don't understand what our workload is and the fact that we have obligations
to clients. And this never-ending to-do list, which is clocked up inside our heads. And that at some point, we just have to do that work.
Yeah, it's a good point in that when you work for yourself, the assumption is, well, not even the assumption, the luxury of that is you have flexibility to work where you want, when you want, etc. But perhaps that means that other people who don't work for themselves assume that also means you have flexibility in terms of those commitments. But in reality, you still said you're going to produce the work for your clients by X date. And yes, sometimes that is absolutely flexible and that can be pushed back. But sometimes that's difficult, or that's a conversation that's really stressful when you're already dealing with sick kids and whatever, you know. Maybe because the flexibility is like inherent in being self-employed, therefore your other half assumes your clients can be flexible too.
Mm.
The commitments you've made can be flexible too, but that isn't always the case.
And the fact is, if you decide, like I did on some things, to hire somebody else to do the work for you, to help you out with it, well, that means you're not making that money.
Earning less money. Yeah, like, exactly.
So, you're keeping the relationship sweet, you're keeping the work going, but there's also an implication, there's a knock-on effect there as well. Oh, but who the frick is phoning? So that's one thing, is that we kind of have to communicate it. And
like over-communicate, I think.
Yeah, probably.
Like make no assumptions about what you think they know. Well, we talked about this really early on, didn't we? Like one of the first episodes was about the huddle cuddle, which if you haven't listened to it, would be like, I'm sorry, what? Yeah, like getting together once a week as a team, you and your partner, to talk about that week, what's coming up, what your family commitments are, what your work commitments are, any social stuff that's going on, birthday parties, blah, blah, blah. And just so everybody's across like what's happening at that time. But also it gives them an opportunity to say what they want to say. Maybe work for them is really stressful at the moment, but they haven't told you because they don't want to stress you out. Or like you, unless you talk to each other, you don't know what's happening in their life as well. And having that regular communication means everybody has an opportunity to talk about what they're coping with at that time.
And on the occasions when we have to stay home and look after our kids because of school, then maybe sending an email or a message or whatever, a text to the other half saying, hey, you know I'm at home today with blah, but I really need to do blah. So this evening, can you be home for this so that as soon as we're done with dinner, then I can crack on with that and you can put the kids to bed, or like whatever it looks like for you. Unless we say it, they're just going to continue with their day as normal and go for drinks after work and not, like, it's not entirely their fault if we've not expressly said, but actually, yeah, I'm doing this today, but that means I need to catch up this evening.
But also, I would add to that, not asking for permission. I'm so guilty of this. Again, easier said than done. But like, you know, not saying, can I work tonight? But like, because I've been with the kids today, I have to catch up with my client work tonight. Just heads up. And you're definitely right. It's better to do that earlier in the day than them getting home knackered from work or commuting and the stresses of their day and then telling them that actually you're going to piss off and work all night. It's better to tell them that earlier in the day, right?
Yeah.
Give them the time to come to terms with that if that is an issue.
There seems to be a separate side to this question, which then is around working evenings and weekends and that eating into perceived family time. Do you know, in some respects, right, it is good to have that voice in your ear that reminds you that it's not great to be working every night. It isn't great to be working till midnight every night. To a certain extent, it is helpful and healthy to have that voice. But equally, we need to sort of counter it and perhaps compromise it and say, look, let's be realistic. If I'm going to do this and I'm going to earn money and contribute to this, I only have this amount of time. Imagine doing your job in just that amount of time. I need to be able to work evenings and weekends. When it comes to working at a weekend as well, it can be very easy to like just scattergun approach it, like do bits and pieces as the day goes on and the evening goes on. Maybe a different tactic to try is like, I'm going to work Saturday morning or Sunday morning, or I'm going to work all day Saturday, but I'm not going to work at all on Sunday. And then that means you're giving proper
attention to that family time in quotation marks, but you're also giving attention to your work. So you're doing both of them properly. So, but again, it needs to be said to them. I spend so much time with the kids during the week. How about Saturday is your day with the kids? I'm going to work. And then on Sunday, we all have family time together, because otherwise I'm never going to get this business where I want it to be and where you want it to be as well.
That's literally what I was about to say, in that, like, the concept of family time is quite skewed to the person that works, in this instance, her husband, that works an employed job. Because, like, the idea of me making family time at the weekend is actually slightly bonkers to me, because it's like I spend so much time with my children during the week. Like, so much time. And yes, it's nice to spend it all together, but, like, because they don't have that time with the kids during the week, I totally understand that perceived family time at the weekend and in the evenings is precious. Absolutely. But they don't see that you've already spent lots of precious time with your children when they weren't there.
I used to put, I've said this many times, I'm sure, where I used to feel like I had to be around all the time at the weekend. But actually, I think it was irritating me being, you know, tapping away every now and again on a laptop in another room. I think that's quite annoying and maybe seems quite rude. Turns out my wife was really happy to spend time with the kids alone without me. Took years to realise that. But it's quite liberating when you do realise that, when that was finally, when we finally talked about that, because that means that actually I don't need to feel guilty about saying I'm going to go and work this Sunday morning.
But also, by the weekend and the evening, you've done your shift when it comes to parenting. And so even if the kids weren't sick, giving you some time on your own away from the kids is necessary. But maybe you should talk about building in a regular slot on a Saturday morning. So for example, my other half takes my son swimming and then they inevitably end up in a cafe afterwards for cake. They're out for a few hours every Saturday morning. And sometimes I work, sometimes I have a nap, sometimes I have a bath, like sometimes I watch Strictly. Like,
at the crux of it is communication, of the fact that, look, it's all well and good for you to moan about us not spending family time together, but you can't also moan about me not earning enough money. And do you not think I want to earn that money and I want to grow this business? Because actually I'm loving what I did. And if I went back to work in a full-time role, then this, that and the other.
Oh, it's such a good point on the, like, do you think I don't want to be earning money thing. So true. It's not rocket science, is it? If she only has X amount of hours a week and she does a certain type of work, particularly if it's a service-based, you know, time for money business,
which being a detective is.
People ask me about how much money I make or whether I'm earning as much as I was when I was employed. And I'm like, hell no, I'm not. Because I work in a time for money type industry and I have no time and therefore I'm earning no money. Like, that's not an abstract concept to understand. And either he needs to get on board with that and therefore step up to allow her more time, particularly when kids are sick, etc. Or maybe they need to talk about creating another way for, you know, passive income and all that jazz, but like packaging up what she does and selling it in a different way. But even if she's going to do that, she needs time to build that stuff.
Have we done it?
I don't know. I think the conclusion is we don't really know what to say. But we feel you, basically.
Yeah, oh yeah. God, we've got your back.
The comments in this are going to be amazing.
Let us know. You can get in touch. Hashtag DIFTK podcast on Twitter and Instagram. Make sure you're following Frankie so you can get in touch that way. In the Facebook group for Doing It For The Kids community, look out for episode 24?
Yes.
Look out for episode 24 on Facebook when Frankie posts it there, and leave your comments there. So if you're listening to, I know some people listen to this like way beyond when we first recorded it. That doesn't mean we still don't like your input.
Yeah.
It's still great.
These problems still exist.
Yeah. So please do still search for it in the Facebook group and leave your comments there as well. Of course, we also need your questions. You can do that via the doingitforthekids.net website.
And if you've got a spare pocket of time, given the question we just answered, maybe not, maybe next week, spare pocket of time this week, you also need to go and listen to Steve's other podcast, Being Freelance. It's very good. You won't regret it.
Is that everything? Can I just point out, your shopping is late.
I know.
Because it hasn't interrupted us, and in theory it should have done. That was one thing I did when our son was off school last week. I dragged him around the supermarkets just to make sure that he was aware that being off school wasn't fun.
Nice. I always buy Twiglets when I'm in a supermarket because, like, I never think to order them online.
Well, no, you wouldn't, would you? No.
When I'm in the snacks aisle, I'm like, yeah, I want a £2 bag of salty wheat. I love Twiglets.
Whee!